annual mission conference. And you know, there's a lot of things that get us busy in life. We're doing different things, and we can sometimes lose focus on the important things.
Amen.
And you know, the souls of men are important. And that's why we have this annual mission conference, to remind us of this point. We want to get stirred up, and we want to remember what is important in life.
Amen.
And that is what Jesus called us to do, to spread the gospel.
Amen.
And for our first speaker, this is a man I greatly admire. This man, he went to Korea as a tent maker missionary. He was a pastor of this church for many years. After that, he also went to Poland as a tent maker missionary. And, you know, he always inspired me to sing for the Lord when he was here. That was something I remember. Boy, I admire that. And, you know, while he's here, we want to hear what wisdom he has for us. And so, Brother Steve, it's your turn.
After an introduction like that, I'm afraid, Brother Stephen, that I'm about to be humbled. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for praying for me and holding me up. I know you've been worried about my health. And when I first got the news that I might have the big C, it really didn't bother me. The only thing that really bothered me was that I cared for my wife and my child and what their situation would be. But I was surprised that when I got the news that I might have pancreatic cancer, that it was okay. My life has been full.
Amen.
So, so full. The men of God that I've worked with, it's beyond comprehension, the things that I've seen and enjoyed walking with the men that I know. So if God wants to take me, I guess he can. Goshen may not appreciate it. She might want me to hang around a little longer. All right. And maybe Sarah too, but we'll see. What am I doing now in Warsaw? I went to lunch with Joe Benedetti today. And I see, if you don't know him, that's probably because he's been gone for a while, but many a year ago, about 1982, 1983, he used to disciple men in this church, and he discipled me. And I don't know where my life would have wound up if it hadn't been for Joe Benedetti.
Amen.
So hopefully in Warsaw, what I'm doing now is doing the same thing, taking young men and teaching them the doctrines of Christ.
Amen.
Teaching them so they can be as sure as possible. This is what the Bible says. They can know they're saved, and they can know how to teach others that they're saved. I go to an international church, so we have about 30, 34 different nationalities represented in that one assembly. And we have it's a transient assembly. The students that come there for 4 years, and they'll go out. Or maybe people will come to Warsaw with the company, and they'll work for a few years and then transfer out. And there's other things, like refugees will come through until they get their status fixed, and then they'll transfer out. But I've had disciples in Tanzania. I've had disciples in the Philippines and in Korea. I've had disciples currently in Turkey and in France. I've had disciples had the privilege to disciple young men from Slovakia, Ukraine, Belarus, from Iran and Iraq. I don't know how I got here. I don't know why God chose me, put me in that assembly, and said, "Steve, teach these men the Bible, and then have them go to the world." So I'm greatly humbled, and I appreciate your prayers, your teachings, and your input into our lives. My wife, I thank with all my heart, and my daughter is the joy of my old age. So they've been a blessing and an encouragement to me.
Amen.
If we look at our message today, I thought about the mission conference. We hit it We usually warm up in a mission conference, and then by the end, you know, you expect things to get really exciting, but we really hit the ground running. If you were here yesterday, Amen. Whoa, it was, you knew that this mission conference was, had promise of being some substantial. And you're going to hear a lot about promises, great and precious, Amen. Precious promises. Amen. You're going to hear a lot about God's protection, God's provision, about victory, about all the things that we can possess as those who go out on the mission field or stay at home and witness for the Lord, all because the Lord is with us. But that brings me to a question of expectations. Missions are going to be presented to you as exciting, because they are. Missions are exciting. But there is a subtext, if you listen, that has to do more with that it's exciting, but there's another, it's not fantasy, right? So when you encounter what's really in the field, it may not be quite what you expected it to be. Is it still exciting? Yeah! Woo! Yeah. But there's another side also, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, I know this assembly is one in which the brethren, right, the brothers and sisters know their Bibles. So I'm not going to tell you which of the kings of Israel I'm talking about. But I want you to think about who is the Bible talking about when I read this text. Which king of Israel? For behold, now, I'm sorry. Usually I use my phone, and I got big text on my phone, right? But this is a Bible, and it's got really little bitty text in it. So if I look like I'm squinting, it's true. I really am. All right? I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to read what it says. For behold, which king of Israel is this? For behold, I've made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Which king of Israel was it? Do you have it? All right, let me ask you, if you don't know, all right, which king do you think it was? I'll give you a multiple choice question. Was it David? Was it Jeroboam? Or was it Nebuchadnezzar? Made your choice? Okay. I didn't expect that answer. That sounds like something I'd say. All right. I'll read it one more time. One more time. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, because I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Which king was it? Was it David? Was it Jeroboam? Or was it Nebuchadnezzar? All right, it wasn't a king. That was a trick question. if you guys knew me back when I was pastoring, you wouldn't have answered. You know it was a trick question. All right, so it was a prophet. It was a prophet. Now, the question then is, was it Moses before the children of Israel were delivered out of the land of Egypt? Was it Joshua after they'd been delivered out, and when they were going to take and occupy the promised land? Or was that Elisha, after Elijah was called to heaven in a chariot of fire. Made your decision? All right. Yeah, it wasn't any of these. All right, so there's another trick question. All right, this is really about the prophet Jeremiah, right? Yeah, all you guys know your Bible going, oh, I knew that. All right, no you didn't. All right. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Now, were these verses that I read? I'll read one more time. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city. This is a call of Jeremiah. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. And for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Was that a deception? Yes or no? Was it a deception? Was it a lie? No. Jeremiah said it was. Jeremiah said it was a deception. You don't believe me? All right. Let's go to a proof text. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. And let's start reading in about verse 7. Now, after he'd made those promises to Jeremiah says, this is a little bit later, after he had been doing the Lord's business for a while, he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Whoa. Wow. God, I'm not saying you're a liar, but what I am saying is you've deceived me. Why? Because of those things that God said in chapter 1, they didn't seem to be true by chapter 20. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, like you said, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of the name, in his name. He thought it was a deception. He's thinking about what God said in chapter 1 about his protection and how it was not matching what he expected it to be. You know, we have some great and precious promises. Amen. Look at Matthew 28. When you consider, and I hope you do consider, surrendering your will to the Lord Jesus and being a witness no matter where you are, whether it be here or there, whether it be near or far, in Matthew chapter 20, did I say 20? What I meant was 28. That looks better. Yeah. Oh, yes. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is verse 18 of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. All power. Go ye therefore, go, I'm telling you to go. The command is go. This is not a commission to go, this is a command to go. I don't know, it might be a commission too, but it's certainly a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the world, and I have all power. Now, what kind of expectations do you have based on that promise? Now, what does that mean? All right. Brother Yacek spoke, I don't know if it was maybe a couple of mornings ago, and he said, I would like to know, or he gave an example of what something the Bible said looked like in real life. And I thought, that's pretty good. Well, let's take a look at what this looks like, right? Let's see some biblical examples, all right? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. God is with you. Man. God will take care of you, right? Amen? That's not a trick question. And be like Judy. And God will take care of you, right? Yes. Amen. All right, look at verse 34. These are some people of faith who quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the slain. Women received their dead, raised to life again. That may not be quite such a good thing, right? Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured. I thought you said God would deliver you. I thought you said God would take care of you. All these people here are being tortured, not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had, here's some more bad stuff. I thought Christ was with us. I thought God was with us. I thought God would take care of us. I thought our problems were going to be solved. I thought our problems were going to be resolved. It was going to be what? Well, if God is with us, what does it look like? What does it look like? This is what it looks like.
That's right.
And the others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. You know, sometimes it's pretty good. Sometimes you set the enemies of the Lord to flight. It looks like that. That's what the Lord being with you looked like. Other times, you wind up in a jail cell. That's what it looks like. But go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at verses 18 and 19 again. Jeremiah Where are we at? Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 again. For behold, I've made thee this day a defense city. Okay. And an iron pillar, okay, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee. Now, what do you think it's going to look like after you've been in a fight with these people? I used to be a boxer, and I was a pretty good one. I won almost. Every time. But even when I won and I come out of the ring, sometimes my nose would be all big, you know, had a headache and stuff like that. I looked like I lost. But I was a winner. Well, I stuck that cotton up my nose to this side and that side. Sometimes you get in a fight and there's a scars that are the result of that fight. But notice what he says after that. He says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. So this fight, this battle we're in, you've got to go through it. You've got to go through the fight. You've got to go through the hard times. You got to go through these, the machinations of kings and people and ungodly men and ungodly religion. You just gotta go through it.
Amen.
But in the end, whenever that is, they shall not prevail.
That's right.
If you're looking for your rewards here, Be careful.
Right.
You just might get them here. If you're looking for rewards there, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We're guaranteed. Guaranteed those rewards.
Amen. That's right.
There.
Amen.
Moth and rust does not corrupt. Thieves don't break in and steal. And if you die on a torture rack, that's still yours.
Yeah.
Or if you, you know, you can be passing out tracks. We go downtown in Warsaw. We pass out tracks. It's cold. We pass out tracks. It's hot. We pass out tracks. It doesn't matter. People sometimes, you know, they smile. Sometimes they just take a track, drop it on the ground. Very rare, very rare. But, you know, someone will come over and visit or pass out tracks for the first time, you know, and they just, they're trying to pass out tracks. They'll drop one on the ground. Someone will pick it up and, oh, get saved, you know? I mean, what's with that? You know, I'm out here, you know, every day for months and months and months, and nobody says hi. The best I get excited if they smile, you know. My reward is not now.
Amen.
My reward is in heaven.
Amen.
It says in Galatians, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As you listen to the rest of the messages in this mission conference, as you see, you're going to see a couple of videos here today, as you see marvelous works, as you see God doing marvelous and wonderful things, and you get excited about that, good, get excited, submit your will to God, adjust your attitude to align with His attitude. And set your priorities according to His priorities. You want to go to the mission field? Go! You want to be a witness at work? Do it!
Amen.
And if good things happen because of it, hallelujah!
Amen.
And if you don't see the fruit here, hallelujah still!
Amen.
Just be mindful that what we're preaching and teaching is not for the here, it's for the there.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.